This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. For more information, go to FUBARradio.com. You're listening to the best of FUBAR
Radio. FUBAR Radio presents...
Colour looks like
it. It's the incredible Sophie Anderson.
Oh my goodness, hey babes! Hi guys and girlies!
Sophie, I want you to do a tennis-themed porn in future though.
This is
think
brilliant.
Of me when you do.
Oh, I will be. I'm going to think of your face. That would turn me on even more. But yes, I tell you what, if you wanted to give me your cot right now, I'd be on it. I'd be on it too.
I don't know how our producers would feel if we started having sex in the studio with them watching.
Oh my God, I'm thinking of it. She's peering through the window. Do you like this? Oh yeah.
Every Wednesday.
Colour looks like it.
From 6 p.m. FUBAR Radio.
Hello and welcome back to the Callum McSwiggan Show. Today I am joined by illustrator extraordinaire. It's Mr. Dominic. Let's talk about your new book, Free to Be Me.
An LGBTQ plus journal of self-love, pride and finding you in a rainbow.
Now, how many times have you said that in the past month?
So many times.
It's a wonderful little book, so I've had a copy with me for a while. And it's going with me on my travels. I brought it to EuroPride with me. I brought it to World Pride. And it's just a lovely little addition to my suitcase.
Thanks.
And for me, at least, like you say, it's a journal. It's not a book as such. Mm. You know, it's not something I would read cover to cover.
Yeah.
But I think it's just this like little book of magic that you can just dip in and out of.
Yeah, dip into it. It's something that's always there for you. So I wanted it to be like a safe space for any LGBTQ plus reader to go into, no matter what age, whether they're 12 or they're like 99 or whatever, and they can dip in and out of it. You don't have to read it all in one go. You can go and do some activities. It's just to remind you that you're accepted, you're loved, you're valued. And it's just like that little safe haven you've got wherever you carry it in your rucksack or in your suitcase or your crop tops for World Pride. Because I saw them, Callum, and they're amazing looks. I live for them.
Thanks.
I love a crop top. But yeah, that's what I wanted to do. So like, I wanted something like that. People could go dipping in and out of it. I've had someone who's like said that one follower said they filled in the whole book and then they gave it to the parents. And that was their way of coming out to the parents.
Oh my gosh.
So they filled in the entire book and then said, Mum, Dad, can you have a look at this? And they read through it and the parents like, we'd love it to pieces. And I was reading it like on the bus, like, oh my God.
That is the sweetest thing. That must have like, in a good way, like shattered your hearts for a million pieces.
Yeah,
like,
well, it literally came 3 weeks after I'd got a message. So the book came out at the end of May, May 31st. And within a week, so many people were messaging about it. And I couldn't believe how well it did. Like, I went to number one on Amazon on 3 charts within a few days, which was quite... pretty much unknown, so it did really well. I can't deal with it. It's amazing
so
to know
lovely.
It's helping people though, because that's the whole point of why I did it.
Absolutely. And I think you've done such a tremendous job as well of making it the kind of like inclusive little masterpiece that it is.
Thank you.
Because I think anybody can pick up that book. And when I say anybody, I really do mean that. I think it's appropriate for any
about LGBTQ plus people.
I love that.
And I was telling a story. Had an interview with someone else, and I was in the pub recently, and this massive like rugby player guy came up to me, and he was like, are you Dominic? And I was like, right, I either need to go full Bolton and get my keys, put them between my hands, get ready for a fight, or I was like, yes, how can I help? And he was like, oh, I just want to say, like, I'm on a rugby team and one of the lads has come out as gay, and we've all bought your book because one of our girlfriends had it.
No.
And we've all bought your book because we want to support him, and we're going to have like a little night, and he's going to come round, we're going to have some beers and pizza and fill the book in with him. And I was like, that is so sweet.
That is.
And it was like this beautiful conversation, then 5 minutes later we're doing Jaeger bombs, but it was just real.
Classic.
Yeah, I was like, that's amazing. Shots. But it's nice to know it's helping people, and I feel like it could be applied to anyone, but you know, anyone can learn stuff from it. Anyone can... You know, we've got that amazing Stonewall glossary that they've signed off very kindly for us to use at the back. So there's a constant glossary of terms for you to refer to if you're confused about something you read or you don't know what cisgender means or something like that. So, yeah, I'm really happy with that. And I'm so happy that you like it as well, because you're such like an icon of the LGBTQ plus community. Okay, Cal's like, stop it. So it's great.
No, carry on.
It's great to get endorsement off people like this, you know, like... Yeah. MNEK posted about it. Cheryl posted about it on her Instagram stories.
Really?
Yeah, which was the nicest thing ever. And Jade from Little Mix has been like the biggest supporter of it. And She's just incredible.
She is incredible. She does not... She gets a lot of praise, but she does not get enough praise. She is like ally number one.
I wanted to be Prime Minister of the world, because I approached her on Instagram and was like, hi, can you give me a quote for the book? And she's like, whatever you want, of course. Like, she never wants to ask for money, because a few people did. No, no. But she was... Like, everyone in the book, like MNEK and Juno Dawson and Jade Thirlwall, they all volunteered quotes, and they put with me messaging going, is this picture okay of you? Do you like this? They were all brilliant, and were like, whatever we can do to help, let us know.
So
but
lovely.
The fact Jade does that, and then she came to the launch as well, and she didn't need to. She's got so many demands on her time, and the fact she turned up and endorsed it, she's also showing how to be a good ally to all her
she's
fans.
She's an amazing ally.
An amazing example, and she's just got gorgeous hair.
Oh, I just want to like... I don't want to mess it up, but I do want to like
she's
run my fingers
cute.
Through it.
I just want to like wrap her up and feed her biscuits all day.
And what about the rest of your kind of Instagram presence and your presence in general? What is your hope for the future?
With Instagram, I want to make sure I'm creating a really, again, like a safe space and a bit of a community for people to come and feel secure and valid and accepted. And like you said, it's something people can dip in and out of positively and look at. So I make sure that when I do stuff now for the main feed, because years ago, I used to just put up any old drawing and be like, oh, here's a dinosaur. Oh, you know, it's Jay McDonald.
Sure.
I mean, Jay McDonald's great. Don't get me wrong. I love her. But now I've realized in the past 2 years, I've got a modest following of like 16,000 people, which is quite, I mean, obviously compared to you've got like the whole population of like a country following you.
A small country.
You've got the whole of Scotland equivalent of that. But I thought, you know, I've kind of not got responsibility, but in a way I feel like I could do more with this platform to help people. So I did the Free to Be Me announcement on there in October, and more followers started coming on. People messaging me going, oh, will this be covered in the book, and will this be? And I was really glad to be like, yeah, everything you've asked is going to be covered. Because as well, doing the book, I felt like there's a lot you've got to cover in the LGBTQ+ community.
Yeah.
And also you don't want to offend anyone or leave anyone out, but you've also got to make all the information accessible.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I threw in a rainbow gay dinosaur because I thought that was the best solution.
FUBAR Radio presents Access All Areas.
I'm very excited. We have the two hottest boys that were in Love Island.
Callum and Sharif, welcome.
Sharif and Callum.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
And how long was it in the end?
Just, I had 6 days.
Well, yeah, no, it wasn't even a week.
No, actually.
Tough times.
I know, gutting, but... what are you thinking, Sharif?
Yeah, Sharif's very quiet in the corner. Come on.
I'm just thinking my experience is different to you, so obviously.
It's better than getting... I just didn't have anyone pick me. So
fair enough. But I like,
first weekend, no one picked me and I had to leave.
Every Thursday, 6 p.m. on FUBAR Radio.
This is the busiest little studio in the land today.
We've got the absolutely gorgeous Love Island star, Jordan Rhian.
Hi.
Jordan Rhian, she's in the house.
Thanks so much for coming in.
You're looking stunning.
Absolutely stunning.
Oh my God, I don't feel it. I've had like no hours sleep.
Why?
I've just been running around like a headless chicken.
Has it been non-stop since you... No, got out of that villa.
Stop, honestly. I'm like waiting for a day where I literally have nothing to do and I can sit on my sofa and catch up on all my films.
But today is not that day.
It's not that day today, no.
Darling, we're not going there because you've got to talk to us. Now, firstly, we've got to say, Curtis.
Oh,
that one word, Curtis.
He's lovely. Do you know what?
Caused a bit of drama, didn't it?
It did. I think I underestimated like how big it would actually be. But he really meant it. Like everything he said to me, he genuinely meant. I'm actually still quite surprised. Like even when I talk about it, I'm actually quite shocked as to how it even happened in the first place. But
wow. I mean, how did you feel about Curtis? I mean, what was when he was opening up to you, what was your kind of reaction?
I was speechless. I think everyone's seen the moment when I kind of my jaw just kind of dropped, but I respected it. But for me, it's like I love him to death as a person. I really do think, you know, regardless of how he handled the situation, he is a genuinely nice person. Romantically, it just wasn't for me.
Mm-hmm.
So it was kind of like it didn't really matter what was going to be said. It was all the answer was always going to be the same. And genuinely, all I cared about was him and Amy, even over what me and Danny had.
Right,
it's like,
okay,
it's all about you two. Forget me. It's about you two. So, yeah.
I thought initially that they were probably a potential winning couple.
Yeah, so did I.
So he really messed up.
He did. He risked everything.
I mean, did you feel for Amy? I mean, did your heart just go out to her?
Oh, yeah. And all I cared about was how she felt. As much as I had respect for Curtis, for being honest, I just couldn't imagine Amy walking in and me stood next to him at the fire pit. Can you just imagine that?
No.
Amy walks in and I'm there holding his hand at the fire pit. Like, it just wasn't, it just could never have been.
You're
that.
A girl's yeah. girl, aren't you?
I really am. Like, and for me, I just felt like this is not the right way to do it. At least have the respect to tell her first. Mm-hmm. We're both going to be in the villa and then see. But then I feel like the moment he told her, he kind of realised with me it was a no-go anyway. So
I mean,
like,
do you think
he was like, shit.
Yeah.
Do you think Curtis ballsed it up, basically? I mean, do you think he really kind of didn't think properly?
No, actually, do you know what? From being in there, I actually thought he thought it through really well, and that's what scared me even more.
Wow.
He really meant it. He really thought about it. And when he said, you know, if recoupling was in half an hour, I'd pick you, he meant it. And that was like days worth of him thinking about it, because obviously for you guys, it's like a day or two later, yeah. but he'd been thinking about that for days. We were in Castlemore for 5.5 days.
Okay.
So typically Castlemore's only 2.
Yeah.
And we had 5.5. So he had a lot of time to think about it, and he meant it. It stressed me out even more that he was that serious.
Yeah,
he's getting himself into a little bit of
and I think since it's actually not been very good for him. He's kind of tumbled down a bit
yeah,
in people's estimations.
Yeah. Yeah.
What do you feel about him and Maura? Because it's, well, I mean, there was quite some action.
There was. I'm very intrigued for them to all come out and tell us the real.
What's
gosh,
actually
honestly,
gonna...
what's really going
what
down?
What went on under those covers?
But honestly,
I mean, what do you think about that situation?
I actually think, whether or not it will last long, long, long term, I don't know. But I actually think it could be something. Curtis has this like really fiery, cheeky side that we've never seen as a public. Like, you just do not see it. And it's almost as equal or on par with how Maura is. And it's just a side you don't see of him. And I feel like Maura brings it out of him, but he knows how to silence her at the same time. It's like he kind of makes her a little bit
more... But why didn't they work this out earlier?
Oh, he had Amy.
This is what I don't understand. I don't buy it.
She's always liked him.
Really?
She's always liked him. From day two, she said she wanted him. Mm. It just never worked out. And now is the time it kind of, I felt like for her, it was like, okay, let's go for it. I just feel like everything has a right time. Maybe. And I feel like between Maura and Francesca, I felt like it was always going to be Maura.
Well, I've just seen your phone ringing with
a certain name on it.
What is the name?
Danny.
Now, Danny boy.
So tell us about what's going on now.
We are together.
Are you an official couple? Why isn't he listening to the show? He should know you're on
Uber. Yeah, good point.
Because he's running around like a madman trying to get prepped, bless him, for another event we've got after this. So
he's
literally running around like a headless chicken trying to sort his life out. He's almost as crazy as me.
So, but is that, I mean, because you essentially haven't known each other that long.
No, it's been a month.
So are you worried?
Do you know what? Typically, I would say yes. If the villa didn't exist and any of that didn't exist, I would be like, a month, are you for real? But I feel like when you live with someone for 24 hours a day,
yes,
constantly, you see them first thing in the morning, you see them at night, you see them when they're upset, you see them when they're happy. Like, you literally see everything. Just being in the villa alone speeds everything up. So I feel like as much as me and him have, like, labelled it, at the same time, we don't act like we have. We genuinely take it day by day, and we're just like, we just enjoy being around each other.
But it's fast. You've met the families.
Yeah. To be fair to him, that was like somewhat of an accident, but he loved it, because obviously my family met me at the airport, so he had no choice really when it came to my family. He had no choice. It was like he walked in, it was like my parents and my cousins and my best friends.
It's like your worst nightmare.
Literally,
you just started dating someone
and they're all there just smiling in your face at the airport. Yeah. But then from that point on, you know, he came with me to my cousin's graduation and met more of my family, so that was very intentional.
Wow.
I went to Leeds and to Hull and stuff to meet his family, so those things were intentional. And I just felt like it made sense. I just feel like because his family lives so far away, it's nice that my family have kind of like not taken him in, but he is basically like family to them.
Oh.
Like, he has another family here, and I feel
so
like
you basically
helps.
Are living together and stuff as well then?
Not yet.
Okay.
No. Not
that's going to be happening soon. This is a roller coaster.
Potentially,
it's going quick.
Potentially, well, we both need to move, and it's been a topic of conversation. Whether or not it will definitely happen, we're going to see, because
but it might.
It could. It's just, you know, this is real life now. It's not the villa anymore.
Yeah,
so
yeah, it's true.
We've got to think about it.
No one's
going to
vote one
yeah.
of you out.
Exactly. This is real life. Yeah. With
but were
real
you
bills.
Were you upset that Danny contacted some of the exes from the show?
No. I was actually one of the people encouraging him to do so very soon. I just feel like when you're in the show, everything looks worse and is heightened and feelings are, you know, sped up and stuff like that. And it's felt like, out of respect, if he genuinely got on with them, even if it was just on a friendship level, regardless, the situation wasn't the best of situations, and out of respect, he should check that they're okay.
So I can understand that. That's very level-headed of you.
I think, gosh, I wish I was like you.
Tuesday Takeover with Dave Hill on FUBAR Radio.
Hello and welcome. I guess it is Dave Hill's podcasting incident with me, Dave Hill, the pride of Cleveland and beyond. We're also joined by artist and graphic designer and lifelong Witch Taint fan, Matt Cooper. And Kelly Convey.
Yes, hi.
You have a new show, Telephone Voice.
I do.
At Pleasance Theatre, Pleasance Bunker One, at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival.
Yes, sir.
Starting July 31st.
Yeah, it's like not even that far away now.
It's coming.
It's kind of, yeah, starting to shit myself. Ooh. Just a little bit.
I have a close to shitting myself story.
Please.
3 years ago or so, I got the chance to work with the Divine Comedy, who are a huge fan of. I'd seen them multiple times in concert. And Neil Hannon, the main guy from Divine Comedy, lives in Ireland, only had a few days that he was in London and could meet me. But this coincided with me having a terrible stomach upset. So eventually we just had to have this meeting. And so I'm sat there with, you know, it's a bit of a hero of mine, really. And I'm sat next to him the entire 2 hours we were together to talk about our project, basically with my buttocks clenched, trying not to shit myself. And then this year I've worked with him again on his new album, and I thought it's time to fess up.
I told him. He'll love this.
And luckily he did.
He did.
Yeah.
Awesome. I think it brings totally people together, a nice pants shitting.
Well, I think that it's like one of the most natural things in the world and one of the most things that we're really, really like stupidly embarrassed about. As a woman, and I hate saying as a woman, but I've always had that with partners where I just try and imagine that they don't know that I go to poo. Like, so I imagine that men have no idea that women actually go to the toilet, and I'd hide it from them. And I went out. He's now my fiancé, so it's fine. But we went away on our first trip away together, and I was really worried that if staying in a hotel, how would I go to the toilet? So I like basically held it in for like 3 days. And by the third day...
This is recently?
It's a couple of years ago. But by the end of the third day, I had the worst tummy ache, and we were checking out from the hotel, and I was just there like, and it was just like my stomach was so sore. And then I just couldn't clench anymore, and I ran to the loo, and then he came in and like knocked on the door and was like, "You okay?" And I was like, "Yeah, no, I'm fine." He was like, "Babe, just come to the door, I know what." And I was like, "What?" And he was like, "You've shit yourself, haven't you?" And I was like, no, I've never pooed in my life. And he was all like, it's on reception floor.
You really did. It's on the reception floor?
Sharted through my leggings.
So he like fully busted you.
Oh yeah. My God.
Full on sharted myself onto the floor.
If you're just tuning in.
This show is sponsored by Hilton.
In the reception of the hotel, you shit on the floor of the reception?
Yeah. Do you know what? He bought me a new pair of underwear and trousers, and he cleaned it up.
This guy is a keeper.
He is. I love him so much.
That's the most romantic. That is also, but extra points though for cleaning it up in the lobby.
Yeah, so no one else would see it.
Well, he handled it. He's a gentleman.
He is a gentleman.
Because a lot of people would have been like, not my problem. It's already out of her butt.
Yeah.
You know? Not him.
Yeah, out of her butt and out of my life.
Yeah, yeah.
Move on.
Yeah, but he's got that permanent hold over you now, hasn't he, Kelly?
Oh, he has.
So, you know, any argument, any row, any fallout 10 years down the line, yeah, at least don't shit myself on the hotel lobby floor.
We haven't quite got to that angry stage yet, but I definitely know that one day it's going to come out of his arsenal.
That's what they call asshole here.
Arsenal, like the football team.
No, repertoire.
Your weapons. Your arsenal.
That's what an arsenal is.
Like one of his power moves will be shitting his pants. Mm.
Like bringing up the eye.
Oh, okay. I apologize because one of my possible guests is like doesn't know where he's going, so I'm multitasking, which is why I rudely wasn't entirely sure of the context.
That's totally fine. I mean, I would probably prefer to just move on and plug my show
and we will as soon as everybody takes a turn telling a pants shitting story. Mark Mayer.
I'm clean.
All right.
Oh, come on.
No, I told you mine.
You must have shit your pants.
I'll tell a quick story. As people have been following my career from the very beginning are well aware, I think I've told this story before on, if not this show, other shows. It's not like a story I dine out on and tell all the time, but I said it out loud. I was in this band years ago, and we got,
I guess they would be called kebabs here, like gyros, euros.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
kebabs.
And we got, it was five of us in the band, some guy that was with us and some woman that was with us, and it was like 2 a.m. We got, is in Chicago, we got kebabs, and I was wearing these like silver pants that were not, if you were going to shit your pants, they were not the pair to be wearing. And we, I was waiting to get back in the van, and we were on this quiet side street, and then I was like, oh, I think I, this is not a sexy story really, but I thought, I think I need to fart. Oh, and no. Then I shit everywhere, and I just was like, oh my God, I screamed. And then everyone's like, what? And then I realized, I was like, if I let them know what's happened, they'll use it against me forever.
Yeah. So they were good friends, as long close friends.
We were like very antagonistic. I was like, they can't know what's just happened. So they're like, what? What's the matter? And I was like, oh, I just remembered something. I was just reminding myself to do something. And they're like, oh, okay. And we get in the van. And then the guy driving, Chaz, was like, why don't we just eat the kebabs here rather than keep going? So I'm just sitting there covered in my own shit. But this is why I believe in God. 7 people open the kebabs, and like the smell of like spiced lamb meat and onions and all this stuff overpowers that my shitty pants.
Your soiled pants. Wow.
Yeah. So no one knew. And then they were like, I was kneeling, like eating, because I was like, I just have to eat this and act like everything's fine. But I was kneeling because I couldn't sit on the bench in the van. And they're like, why are you kneeling? And I was like, oh, it's just better, easier this way to eat it kneeling and use the bench as a table for my kebab. And they're like, okay. And then we went back to the hotel and I just ran in ahead of everybody, went into the bathroom. Yes. And took off all my clothes mm-hmm. and threw them in the tub.
Yeah. You're listening to Football Radio.
Peace to Mr. Dan. We got another one. Burning through an ounce, thumbing through finance, never miss a count, tallying amounts. Never had access to finer things until I took away the doubt. Hey, I made it out. Happy that my quality of life is just right. Still stand and fight, still man my plight. I never lose, scared of who, yeah, right. Get out of your mind, get out of sight. They like guilt came up on it. I'm like, because I never gave up on it. And I'm traveling the world, fans take pics and cop ticks. They saving up for us. I remember when nobody cared. We kept faith and plan for a lot of years. Invested blood, sweat, a lot of tears. Thinking, when I get on, I'm out of here. I'm out of here, I'm gone. Express through song, feeling strong. Still pray for those that did me wrong. It's motivation whenever I perform. Cause I'm gone. Remember when my friends had jokes, cause all I had was the quotes. I didn't have a record deal and going broke, saving for the studio. They admitted I had talent, but making a career was a challenge. I had to find balance, a thin line between chasing the dream and reality. I learned in time, quit looking for help and invest in self. The struggle alone is heartfelt. If you endured hate, you can't relate. You gotta go through struggle to be great. You gotta meet your fears to meet fate. And now they all light up when they see my face. My goals are so near, like when I get on, I'm outta here, I'm outta here. Go. Express through song, feeling strong. Still pray for those that did me wrong. It's motivation whenever I perform. Cause I'm gone.
presents Ian
Molesworth. I've got to into your Bob Saget.
You do, luckily. The real Bob Saget, not me.
Hello.
How big are your testicles?
Oh, well, I'm going to send you photos. Actually, people do send me dick pics, and I'm sure they do to you as well. Is that correct?
Do you know what? Actually, we have them on this show.
I might lay on my back and take a picture of mine next to Big Ben, just for the heck of it. Just to maybe get a level, see if it's straight.
Every Monday.
Ian Molesworth.
From 4 p.m.
FUBAR Radio.
We're joined now by Audrey, say it again, Brisson.
Audrey Brisson.
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 Should I do that?
I think you should.
Brisson.
Brisson.
Should I make Audrey Brisson? Now, this happened to me recently as well, because I interviewed someone who was French recently. Are you French?
Canadian.
That's near enough.
Yes.
And I couldn't, they were saying that English wasn't their first language, and I couldn't, and so likewise with yourself when you spoke then, how could it not be your first language?
Because I am from the French part of Canada, so I'm from Montreal.
I've been to Montreal, it's very nice there.
But they do
speak English very well, though, I would say,
They do well, depending on where you go in the city. Yeah. They will either speak great English or just, you know, swear at you.
Okay. And, I can't get my head around that English isn't your first language, just for the little I spoke to you now.
Well, been here for 13 years. I've been to drama school where they try to kick the accent out of you.
Where did you go?
Central School of Speech and Drama.
Oh, we don't allow that, do we? The Royal Central
the
School
Royal,
is called.
Yeah. The Royal, there you go, that's the one.
Oh, yeah, you've got to say Royal Central the School Royal now. We learned that the other week.
Did you?
Yeah. Didn't that lady the other week?
Yeah, she went there.
Central School as
and
well.
And then, remember, she came in with her husband who went to a more... less royal one.
No, I'm thinking of the other lady, the French lady.
Oh, no, I don't think she went there.
Okay.
I can't remember.
Well, there we go. Some idle chit chat.
Sorry. Meaningless chat.
But we're talking about Amélie the musical.
Yes.
Today. Now, do you know what? Even as I'm thinking about it now, I'm not even sure I've seen Amélie all the way through.
Oh, really? Get out.
No, I'm not. I'm really not. But what I remember, what I have seen of it, was that I was loving it. Mm. Maybe I started watching it late at night and just didn't see it through and then intended to carry on and then didn't.
Yeah.
It was that good.
No, but I remember really liking what's. I've honestly got such a vague memory of it.
Mm-hmm. You remember Audrey Tautou?
Tautou.
Which kind of think I know she did a lot before that, but that was sort of she became well known
over
here.
Exactly. I think that's where fame started for her, I believe.
Are you playing that role within the show? That's exciting, isn't it?
I only got the role because we have the same first name, Audrey.
Right. Is that contractual?
Yeah, yes.
Could be, couldn't it? And it's a transfer to the West End.
Yes, the other palace.
And where's it been?
God, so we opened at the Watermill in Newbury. And then we went to Wimbledon, Dublin, Edinburgh, Oxford, High Wycombe, Exeter, Leicester, Bradford.
It's been on tour now.
It's been on tour and it shall continue being on tour until end of October.
That's exciting. Wow. Yeah. And then?
And then
to the other palace at the end of November.
Where fame will...
Could come up. Well, I think people underestimate what a big deal a West End transfer actually is. Like, something does have to be good to end up being a residency in the West End.
Yeah, I think so. I hope so.
No, it definitely does. You can't, factor that in.
It wouldn't transfer. And it's transferring for quite a long time. It costs too much. February, right? So,
absolutely, yeah. It's 8 or 9 weeks, so we're quite fortunate.
What happens? I can't remember what happens in Amélie.
So, it's a story of Amélie.
I sometimes mix it
up
with Blue Velvet, I think.
Well, I haven't seen
it. It's not similar to Blue Velvet. They're very different.
Betty
films.
Blue.
Betty Blue is the French. Again, not very similar to
All right.
Not really.
Wait, what's the name of the film with the pig?
Babe,
that's the one.
Yeah.
All right, no, I never mix it with Babe. There's the Delicatessen that was around the same time.
I think that's the same
time,
director,
isn't it? It's the same director. That's
a great
film.
That's a mental
film.
That's
a really,
really
good
film. So
it's
very similar in style with the name of the director. Yeah, it's the same director that did Delicatessen.
I remember the trailer for the Delicatessen, which was it was people having sex, but then everyone was in time to it. Yeah,
it's good, right?
Yeah. Was that in the movie itself? Was it?
Yes, it is.
Come on, Amélie then instead.
Amélie is a young woman who struggles to connect with other people, has a humongous imagination, and is very good at meddling in other people's lives. So she's struggling to connect herself with other people, so she will try and make other people connect.
Right.
In order to avoid having to deal with her own issues.
Okay.
And, life... you know, smacks her in the face and forces her to deal with said issues.
Could have been called Nat this, couldn't it?
It was, but I made them change the name. Yeah. I didn't want to have my real name in it, so I also like to be called Amélie quite a lot. Yeah. Off air, so, you know.
Only from behind.
Yeah.
And what's your, have you been in this from day one? Have you been part of the thing from day one?
Yes.
And
yes,
is this
yes.
the first creation of this as a live show?
No, it started in 2015 in America.
Right.
It opened originally, now let me get that straight, in Berkeley.
Right.
And then went to LA and then Broadway.
Okay.
So I had three lives. Did not do well, unfortunately. Did it not? To say.
So how's it got a new lease of life then? Because normally something dies, it dies.
Yeah, well, so the creatives, producers and everything very generously gave the rights? I hope they gave the rights. I hope I'm not lying.
To us.
Yeah. And allowed the creative team here to kind of faff around, play around with it.
Okay,
change
so,
it into
so
an
it's
actor.
Been rejigged.
Yeah,
right?
Completely.
Yeah, okay.
And they came to see us when we were previewing at Newbury, so they gave their blessings and said a few, you know, suggested a few tweaks.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, very, very open.
And then did you say to them, no, hang on, you fucked this up. We're
exactly.
doing it right.
Let us show
Don't
you
give us
how
tweaks.
To do your job.
We'll tell you how to make
there
this
you go.
Work.
Yeah. No, but they cried. They were very pleased.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah.
And were they, so the people from the stage show, the original stage show, were they derivative of the movie? Were they attached in any way to that?
No, not at all.
It's not a rights thing in the movie, okay.
I think there's some, I hope I'm telling the story correctly. Jean-Pierre Jeunet, the director, gave the rights and then regretted giving the rights.
Okay.
And said it was a shame and it was a disgrace to the film. Didn't see the show. It wasn't
so
too
So didn't see the show but decided that they hated it.
Yeah, exactly. Just he's right. French.
Well, I don't know how they work the French. I've got no clue. I've only met one French person.
Fubar Radio presents
Michael Payne and Marcel Somerville.
I should introduce our special guest co-host now. She goes by the name of Shiesty. It's an absolute pleasure to have you back. We've got Wulu.
Safe.
I really wanted to kind of touch on the fact that you've shared a stage with Erykah Badu.
Yeah, it was a field day, not this year, the year before, in my home area in Brockle Park.
Yeah.
Banging. She got a massive entourage, so you couldn't completely
penetrate. Yeah, them ones. Yeah, of course.
Can I run up to her, give her a mixtape?
Michael Payne and Marcel Somerville.
Every Wednesday
from 4 p.m.
This is the Michael, Natalie and Marcel show, otherwise known as the Mikhail, Natalie and Marcel show, to our special guest co-host, Terry Walker.
Hey!
I like that chant that was going on over there.
Gorgeous in the building. Gorgeous, 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 gorgeous in the building. Gorgeous in the building.
Now, see, this is only the start energy comes in. You know, can you tell when someone comes in, just
stop
it.
That perfect sounding person that you hear on the fourth mic is Bree Runway.
Thank you very, 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 very much. Thank you very much.
It really is amazing to have you in finally, because you've been on my radar for like ages, both visually and musically. Won't lie, visually first, your reputation preceded you from an aesthetic point of view.
You.
And I think I figured out exactly why Runway is the fashion, right?
Definitely.
Right, okay.
Right now we're sporting vintage Dior. We have vintage Louis V.
Yes, babe.
You know, like, yeah, it's important.
Absolutely.
It is important.
Absolutely. Where did you get your sense of style from?
Actually, it was like a trigger. My mum is very like a DIY queen. Like she makes everything herself. And then, I don't know, it was just one day. Like I looked kind of weird. And my mum was like, you need to start taking care of yourself. And that conversation triggered me to just start looking at like people I admire. I'm like, how did Madonna dress in her prime? How did this person dress? How did this person dress? And then it's just molded my style.
Yeah.
Like in terms of, I can literally just make anything. I can get up and like, I want an ostrich feather top today. I'm going to make it.
Yeah,
How old were you when this happened?
How did I?
How old were you when that?
13.
Wow.
Yeah, 13.
Formative years, I know.
Yeah, that's when
it starts, isn't it? Yeah.
It's something that's very common, because you're of Ghanaian descent,
yes,
right?
Yes, I am.
And obviously, it's something that's very common among West African people. The kind of DIY attitude, especially to clothing.
A million percent.
Like everyone's got a mum or an auntie that sews something for the community.
Altars and this.
Absolutely. Yep. And a lot of the time it's everyone. Everyone just kind of does it for each other.
A million.
Was your mum that woman?
My
mum
still
community?
Is that
Amazing.
Woman. Literally.
The auntie
still,
that does it for...
She still is that woman. Like, if you need your jeans altered quickly, go to Brenda's mum.
Yeah,
if you need pattern cut, go to Brenda's mom. Nice. Oh, mom, can you tie the knot on this? Go to Brenda's mom. Like, literally,
right.
She's the one.
That's and cool. That's obviously where the abbreviation Brie comes from, yeah. Brenda. I actually, I thought Sabrina. I did think Sabrina, yeah.
Oh my God, I wish my name was Sabrina.
I know a lot of Ghanaian and Sabrina's, though. That's the thing. I know a handful of Ghanaian and Sabrina's, so that was another thing that
Sabrina
kind of...
Sabrina would have actually been amazing. Oh, well, you know what my other name was supposed to be?
What?
Golden.
Golden.
Ooh! No.
Take it.
No, but you are Golden.
No, take it. Take it.
No! Why do you want to be called Golden?
Golden.
Golden, nice.
Absolutely.
Why?
Not.
Why not?
I think that's really corny of my grandma to even think of
but
that.
But that's because it's not your name, though.
Yeah, exactly. Imagine that. Yeah, my name's Golden.
But you are Golden, though. You're a star.
Genuinely, I don't have any problem with the name Golden.
Me neither. But I guess it's quite a nice personal name. She's like, no. She's giving us daggers at behind her.
No.
Like,
no.
Obviously, yeah, Brenda.
Yes.
Cherish it. 100%.
Or Brie.
Or Brie.
I like, yeah, course, I like Brie. Yeah, Brie's done. Yeah.
But Golden's cool, man.
Yeah, sorry, what? Like, I'm sorry, that is so dead.
The really positive adjectives are another thing that are really common again among West Africans. Yep. Like, you had names like patience and charity.
Yes, I don't know.
And victory.
And prudence, right?
So exactly. Cute.
Prudence. Very, very,
so cute.
Very positive, kind of righteous kind of names.
Mm-hmm. Actually, I had a conversation the other day with someone about this jollof thing, because I know I'm from Jamaica descent, but obviously I'm all African. But
of course.
So someone told me about when Ghanaians make jollof, it's because it's to do with their personality. And,
really?
And Nigerians, because you're angry, so you put a lot of pepper in it. Pepper, pepper, pepper. And
it's Ghanaians, they're doing this Nigerians.
This is what I said about Ghanaians, because they're so always positive.
Yeah,
that's
we
why
are.
That's why
we
I'm
really
saying.
Are.
So that's the difference, apparently. So what makes jollof is better? Is this an argument that's going to start?
Do you know what?
Jollof argument
my
that
neck started
time.
Popping like
we
a chicken.
We just met, so I don't know if we're ready for that. Hey. Oh. I'm not going to lie
to you.
Do you
know what?
We just
I feel
met.
Like you guys' rice is not good.
Oh! Oh, look at that. Look at my hand.
Look, the reaction.
Stuck.
You see,
I didn't want conflict with you.
I
had to address the fact that you guys' rice is a little bit bullet-y.
Oh my God, is this for real? So this is really a thing.
Wow.
I actually thought this was a
thanks
joke.
For coming in, Brie. Anyway, it's been nice to
yeah,
see you.
Yeah, it's started off well, didn't it?
Oops.
Yeah. Ended a bit.
Just a little
fair,
bit.
Do you know what? Do you know
a
what?
Tad.
It's karma for me, yeah?
Oh,
because
yeah.
Just 2 days ago on Twitter, I publicly defected to biryani rice, so...
What's that?
It's an Indian rice.
Ooh.
Yeah. I do love all types of jollof, but
same.
Yeah,
being the originators, I think we can kind of take the air.
Oh.
But moving on, your videos are mad.
Yeah,
I've seen
amazing.
Three. Are there more that I need to see? Because I've seen three.
The next one that's coming out. Oh, definitely.
It's gonna be so dumb. It's gonna be
really.
From the sort of logo that you put up at the beginning, you know, Brie Runway Presents and stuff, it gives it this identity, like a series, like catching up on Brie Runway. And the most recent video has got a very deep and political message.
I wanted to really, the whole campaign in general is just like shedding light on just like struggles of being a black woman and how difficult it is, especially the darker you are.
Mm.
So what I wanted to do was just shed light on how hard you have to work. I'm gonna cut through, like regardless of. I'm cutting through.
Exactly.
It's a long road, but I'm gonna cut through.
Absolutely.
And it's never gonna stop because you're gonna constantly be doing what you're doing.
Oh, I'm gonna.
Do you understand? I literally wake up and I fight my biggest competition, and my biggest competition was yesterday's version.
If that's about
is
you. If
I wake up and I do this to the old version of me, and I'm like.
I love her.
That's why in 2 on I had the body double. I fight myself.
Yeah, exactly.
You're listening to Fubar Radio.
Radio presents
Nick Helm and Nathaniel Metcalf's Fan Club.
We're joined in the studio now by Corin, the last skeptic.
What would you like to be called?
Corin's fine.
Corin, yeah. Okay.
Who's your worst guest?
Who's my worst guest? I hate them all. I'm really tempted to just edit them out, but they have me talking in their place.
Yeah. You could edit them in any way you like, though. You can make them look awful.
Yeah, I could do, yeah.
Well, do you do that?
Yeah, I've done that. That's I'm hoping that's what's going to happen with me today. I'll be disappointed if you don't.
This is live.
Live.
What?
I know.
Yeah. So, no, it's a perfect way around that.
Okay.
Just to be a cunt.
Okay, cool. Yeah. So continue being me.
Just be yourself.
Yeah, being myself. All right.
Every Friday,
Nick Helm and Nathaniel Metcalf's Fan Club.
From 12 PM. FUBAR Radio.
We're joined in the studio now by Morgan McLean, who is a cheese maker slash expert. Yeah. You might say she's a bit of a cheesy lady.
She's a lady.
Yeah. Cheesy lady.
Thanks.
See, like, she's a lady.
Cheesy lady.
I like that.
Have you had that before?
No.
You own and run a cheese shop in Muswell Hill.
Yes. So I've had it for since I was 19.
Wow.
So long time.
I like cheese, but I'm slightly scared of some cheeses.
Like
what? I'm always a bit worried about, if I don't know what it is,
yeah.
I'm always a bit worried about it. So I wouldn't get a big lot of it in case it
frightened me. So just little bits.
Yeah. And I feel like I'm not against cheese.
Yeah, good.
But I think some of them are, I find scary in a kind of...
No, right.
I didn't go near a brie till...
Really?
Till I'd say 5-6 years ago.
I don't know.
But then when you have it, you go, oh, yeah, this is fine.
Delish.
I think I was put off by the skin. It's the rind. What is
yeah.
that?
Well, until quite... Well, not the rind, recently. Yes. What I wouldn't say until recently is, yeah, I was always a bit unsure about what part of the cheese you were allowed to eat. Yeah. No, I knew which bit you were allowed to eat.
Yeah.
But it was always a bit like... And then...
Can you eat the rind?
Most of them. I mean, if it's waxed, obviously not. But most of them are natural rinds.
So you don't
but also,
eat the,
like, you just
the skin
have to try
of an Edam?
No, not so much. I think it's a bit chewy.
But also I like things like a laughing cow and things.
Yeah.
Is that...
You know.
Do people turn their nose up at laughing cow?
No. I mean, do you know what? You like what you like. Yeah, I'm not here to preach.
So...
Do you turn your nose up?
No, I love cheese strings. Cheese strings.
Oh, yeah, I love a cheese string.
My favourite...
I mean, I don't know how much cheese is in it, guys.
Right.
My favourite cheese would be a cheese string.
Really?
I like to...
We need to change your mind on
after that. After I get Côte de Bœuf, I will be in French bistro. I'll order a glass of port. And a plate of cheese strings.
Lovely. What, ripped up already?
Baby Bell's cheese strings and maybe, some Laughing Cow.
But you are quite continental, aren't you? So that makes sense.
No, I've never actually had a cheese stringer.
Have you not?
No.
To be fair, I have had them and they are quite fun.
They're all right.
Yeah, sure. They're all right.
Sure. They're very much the cheese equivalent of a fish stick.
Yeah.
Can we get some... knives and more forks or stuff, and then we'll do a cheese sampling.
Yeah, I have it. So biggest sellers in the shop are Black Bomber cheddar, really, really big seller.
So cheddar, yeah.
Yeah, and the brie, which is in there as well, which you'll see it's running all over the place.
Yeah.
So we only serve it at room temperature, mm-hmm. which means literally sometimes I get in the morning it's fallen over the counter.
I mean.
But yeah, this is what we do every day. People just come in and ask us what they should buy.
Yeah.
And just point them in the direction of what we think's good.
I bet you're fucking busy at Christmas, right?
Yeah, did you know you weren't there at Christmas?
Mom.
No. Yeah, so basically, I should describe the shop. It's 2 metres by 7 metres.
Oh, it's teeny.
Teeny, teeny. Teeny, teeny. It's beautiful, isn't it? It's cute. Oh, I think it is. I'm really biased.
Beautiful.
But it means you can only have one customer at a time.
Artisan.
Wow.
So
do you get a fucking queue?
Yeah, so basically, Christmas is 72% of the business.
That's great.
So
70 is fucking... Sorry, I'm just going to be repeating stuff because I'm eating cheese at the same time. 72%
of the business is December. So this time of year, this is why I go on so many holidays and chill out.
And just shut early.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter.
Don't really mind. And yeah, so at Christmas, we're a female-only business. So at the moment, we have 3 girls in the shop. At Christmas, we have 7. 2 of the girls' jobs are they're really gorgeous little girls. They go up and down the queue with brandy and mince pies because the queue's about an hour and a half to get in.
No.
Yeah. I'll try and give you some pictures.
That's a longer queue than the queues for the new Star Wars land at Disney.
Mm. Really?
But that is very unsuccessful at the moment.
But we're more interesting than that.
So how did you get involved with Sunday Brunch?
So we were up for a Time Out Award for Best Shop in Muswell Hill, which we were very happy about. Won the award and I was over the moon, drinking the free champagne like no one's business.
Sure.
Really, really going for it. And then met some of the other shops and we were drinking away.
And then it came up on the board and it was like, oh, we're doing the final awards, the whole of London, and Samir Khan was there and doing, you know, whatever. And they were like, oh, we're doing the best shop in London. And then our face flashes up and I was like, what the fuck is going on? Like, are you joking? I go up to the stage, I'm crying so much, I'm so drunk, like so drunk,
yeah.
I can't get up on the stage in my heels. And they were like, has no one told her that she was getting this award? Then they put me straight onto ITV News.
Fucking hell.
And they were like, do you want to talk about happy? I was like, I'm so fucking happy. So drunk. Like,
did you swear?
Yeah, swore on like television. Like, and then the Sunday brunch literally called next day. I was like, hi, do you want to be the cheese expert? I was like, are you definitely sure? And then obviously I was about third show in when I saw you,
right, yeah.
But my first show I was so nervous,
yeah,
I'm wired, like completely wired. I get to the studio and they were like, your first guest, you've got Tom Kitteridge or someone or another chef, and you've got Russell Brand. I was like, okay, cool. And then we came online and I got through the segment and Russell Brand said, oh, fucking this or something, and yeah. Tim went like that on my arm, held my arm, was like, sorry about the swearing, and I was like, shit, did I fucking swear? And then it went viral. Like, Russell Brand was excused, but it was like cheesemonger, foul mouth cheesemonger.
You said, did I fucking swear?
Yeah, because I didn't realise that we were still alive.
Did I fucking swear?
But at the time, we didn't realise.
I haven't
gone
and made a fucking cunt of myself, have I?
And then we didn't realise at all. And then I got back and it was on the front page of the Daily Mail. Middle class cheesemonger outswore Russell Brand. It was horrible, absolutely horrible. I got trolled. I had to delete Instagram.
What?
Yeah. I was about to say, my children, I actually think were in people the room. Don't care.
See, this is the thing. I thought that they didn't. And they were saying, like, my child is in the room. She's running around saying shit. I was like, oh, God. I was like, yeah, exactly.
And you didn't even say shit.
I know.
So how can that be your fault?
I did.
You said shit as well.
The reason why your kid's running around your fucking living room saying shit everywhere, because there's shit everywhere all over your fucking living room.
FUBAR Radio presents Joey Page.
Mini Mentions, welcome to the studio.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Can I get you to just do a little... Can you just advertise the show quickly for us?
Joe Page is kind of tight.
Joe Page is my real name. I've added a showbiz Y.
That's right. Why would you do that?
Oh, Joe Page. Too late.
I think you should drop
late.
The Y.
Yeah. Yeah.
Joe Page suits the mustache,
yeah.
Too.
Okay.
Yeah, Joe Page.
Turn the page, sick. Joe.
And the suit. Yeah, I think Joe, man.
Joe Page!
I've already done...
Joe Page.
Made a lot of posters with Joey Page on.
Hey, this is Michael from Mini Mansions, and you're listening to Joe Page on FUBAR Radio every Wednesday, 2 p.m.
Every Wednesday from 2 p.m. FUBAR Radio.
So I'm now very excited to be joined in the studio by a band that I'm going to confess straight at the top that for a while, when I first discovered them, I was calling Yonaka. It's Yonaka.
It's Yonaka. It's so many people say Yonaka.
So the album,
yep.
I was just astonished to find out that you recorded and then produced in the space of like 2 months.
In the space of one month.
So my question to you is, have you thought about now just doing, you could open up a little production school, maybe put this under your belt. how to produce an album in
a month.
5 weeks.
Everyone's got to record their own.
So how's Mr. Crosby
going, Liam? Is
it
all right? Let me tell you, there are loads of kids with rich parents that have moved to Brighton for university that you could squeeze some money out of them.
Yeah.
For that.
Yeah, give
me
a shake. Get a side hustle.
And also, we did the Creature EP ourselves and half of the Almost Enemy EP.
Yeah.
Is it Almost Enemy? It will Teach Me to Fight.
Teach Me to Fight.
So, you know, we knew what we were doing by that time, and it was kind of really easy, and it kind of made sense, like, this is what we want to sound, this is what we want it to sound like, why are we going to get anyone else involved right now? Because right now it's so personal that it made complete sense to do it ourselves.
And also, you know what you want better than anybody, and so if you've got the skills to do it, then of course it makes sense to do it yourself. And... cheaper.
Yeah.
If we were getting the money we paid our producers, I tell you what, it'd be a bloody good thing.
But Teresa said before, like, when you say we were working with someone on it, like, say that was an option or whatever, you have to work to their
schedule.
Yeah, their schedule. Yeah. Like, so that was, I mean, considering the time frame, it wasn't going to be possible anyway. But I think we did really good.
And also having your own space, like, in the same city that you live in is pretty good that you can just get in and out. And
I took some pajamas down, like, when it come to guitar tracking, like, me and I had matching pajamas and some candles.
Is there any pictures of these?
No, because Alex actually left his at the studio because that's how much it meant to him, actually.
But I had this little track, like a track list, like ticking off, I was like, oh god, this is going really well. And then I forgot there was another page on like the next. I was like, oh my god, this is not going to happen.
Because we recorded in a way as well, where we did the drum track for every song first, then we did the vocals for every song, and then we did guitar and the bass, and then we did all the production stuff after. So it was like you'd kind of get through songs, but only the very first point of each song. So it was like. But it, you know, yeah, like I said, it was a good experience, and now we know we could do it and work in this kind of.
Yeah.
And lyrically, what is the inspiration for some of the stuff on the album? Is there anything that you're like, oh, I didn't expect to write a song about this, or this came up because?
Well, so a few of the songs are based on mental health and anxiety and stuff, right? So that's like Don't Make Till Tomorrow, Bad Company, The Cure, and then you've got the song Wake Up. That's like my dreams. So that's why that one sounds a bit weird, and I'm like. And I'm like hiding in my bedroom. I'm covered in blood. I'm in a bad mood. Like, you know, I'm not covered in blood.
No.
I'm not killing everyone in the real life.
Unless you try to make another album in a month.
Yeah.
So that was just a reaction to recording it in a month. Yeah. I'm in a bad mood. Covered in blood. Fucking.
I mean, it's a good job you didn't write about one of my dreams. The other night I had a dream that all my teeth and hair had fallen out.
That's in the thing.
That's one of the lyrics in the song.
I always dream that shit. Yeah, it's like. I fall down the rabbit hole, my teeth are broken, hair's all gone.
Oh my god, so maybe you have subliminally put that into my head and then I've had the dream because I've been listening to it while I've been running. Yeah. So this is your fault, Teresa. I just want to have a little chat as well about. You've just come back from Mad Cool Festival, right?
What a festival.
And I can't see, well, maybe Alex, but there's not a lot of tan going on, right? So
I don't tan.
Was you in and out, or did you spend some time there? Did you use it as a holiday?
We spent some time. 3 days. Yeah, well, to be fair, though, there's no sunbathing, because obviously there's no beach, there's nothing like that. So, and we were only there for a couple of days, and we'd never been to Madrid before, so it was like, let's get all we can from the sights, and obviously the food, most importantly. And yeah, so we're kind of just discovering. But that festival is amazing. Yeah. They look after really you cool. so well. Yeah. We did get a proper shitter, though, on like our timing.
The clash was so
we were
bad.
Clashing with The Cure in the 1975. Oh. Like, are you mad? Like, it's
in... all going on.
But, and saying that, though, we had a really good crowd for that, and they were like going for it.
Yeah, yeah, right. And that's something I actually wanted to ask you guys about, because I know that you did some support last year for Kasabian, and I feel like with this album, you've created a sound that is almost built for bigger stadiums and that kind of thing. but that's where you're going to end up, right? So do you start now to think, as you're going on to bigger and better things, of how you want to manage things in terms of like lighting and differently?
It's just when it's like feasible and like when it gets so our next tour is definitely going to be a lot more exciting and probably a bit more
and
driven like that.
Yeah, and that's super exciting because we can like get like props on stage, we can get like visuals, we can get, you know, we're like really thinking up some stuff now for the tour in November, and that's when it starts to get really exciting, because it's like, okay, we can actually like make a performance, like a proper performance.
Yeah, absolutely. And it sounds like that's what this album is built for.
Yeah.
Is that where you can do all that stuff.
Yeah, I want it to be a big boxing ring.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's just everyone can go and just
And
do
especially
whatever.
I think the culture's really changed of like, me and my wife go to a lot of gigs and she loves to get right in the mixer with like the mosh pity stuff. And it's like, people are so polite now. Like, it's not about big hairy men just trying to kill each other. It's like, if someone falls down, like people pick you up.
I did that. Like,
you're listening to Fubar Radio. Fubar
Radio. Crowd, and I'd knock someone's phone out of their hand, and like, I'd like a little bit of time to come back in the song, and like picked up and there you go. And then I accidentally hit him in the head with my guitar as well. So, but it was very nice.
I wonder you're going to talk about when the guitar pulled out, so you just started moshing instead.
That was in Prague.
That's a way better story. So I picked your phone back up and gave it to
you. It's just about being nice, but yeah, that was fucking funny as well. Like, so my lead come out of guitar, and I was trying to signal someone on stage, like, you put it back in. I was like, oh, fuck it.
Looks at me though. I'm like, I have no idea what
you're doing. You tried to get it done, didn't you? And then it's just like,
gave up,
and then just started like running around with everyone.
It's a good move.
I'd love to have seen that. You should make that like a signature thing, or at some point in the gig, everybody knows Georgie's going to like cut loose and just disappear into the crowd and
start
maybe not
windmilling.
Come back.
Cut loose. I'm on that.
You're listening to Fubar Radio.
massacres with color brochures. Death metal plays for carnival girls. Send her away when she's sick of the sun. Let the sleet and snow teach her a lesson.
Oh, Manina.
You've been listening to a FUBAR Radio podcast. For more information, go to FUBARradio.com.